I love this passage. And we're going to talk about Abraham next week as well, so pay close attention. This is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, so a short passage today. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. This ends our reading. As I mentioned before, Jake is heading off to the Marines at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock today, and it's a big deal for our family. I talked with Erica just yesterday. We all went over to say goodbye. I said, well, not goodbye, until next time, right? And as we're over there, I looked at Erica and I said, "How you doing?" And she said, "I'm doing good. I'm really doing well." And then a couple of minutes later, I went over to Mark. I said, "Mark, how's she doing?" He said, "She's a mess." Right. Later on, she called herself, I think it was, Hot Mess Mama. Right. So prayers for them, of course. But I asked Jake, I said, "Jake, what are you looking forward to most? What are you looking forward to most about going into the Marines?" And his answer surprised me. Because I thought he'd say something along the lines of, "I'm looking forward to traveling, I'm looking forward to the camaraderie, I'm looking forward to all the things I get to experience while I'm out." But what he told me was, quote, "I'm looking forward to getting it done." Getting it done. I'm going to revisit that later, because I believe that it informs our passage for today. But first, I have a story of a different kind of resolve, kind of on the opposite side of Jake's. As many of you guys know, I'm a dog guy, in so much as what I have can be called a dog. My puggle. But I'm a dog guy. I grew up with dogs. And when we lived in Rossford, we had this dog that we named creatively Buddy. All right, and Buddy was a nice dog. He was one of those kind of just playful mutts that you'd find a mixed breed, kind of a lab. But this dog was a little bit nuts about walks. Right, whenever you would say the word walk, this dog would go crazy. Right, so much so that my family actually had to change the way that we spoke to one another. Right, where we'd say, "Hey, I'm going to go on a WALK over to the neighbor's house," right? Just to avoid the dog going absolutely crazy. That's how much he loved walks, right? Well, time would come for us to get ready to take him out on a walk, and we'd get him all amped up. You know, "Hey, Buddy, want to go on a walk?" And you see the dog's ears perk up. "Walk, walk, walk," and he'd just, right? Get all amped up, and then he'd take off out of the door, and it looked more like a tractor pull than an actual walk. Yeah, he'd just be pulling us along, but it worked in two different ways. Right, he would pull us along all the way around the community until we got close to home. And then when we got close to home, I kid you not, this dog would sense that he was going to be going back into the house, and he'd just flop over on his side. He'd just flop right over on his side. And it didn't matter where we were, if it was the front yard, the front porch, in the street, with oncoming traffic, this dog would just flop over. Right? If people see this, they'd laugh because he was a kind of big dog. So if you're going across the street and your dog flaps over in the street and there's oncoming traffic, you know what you do? You drag him. Drag the dog right across the street, over the sidewalk, through the yard, and right up through the front door. Right? While your neighbors are calling, you know, PETA 911. When the dog found a place he wanted to be, a place that was good for him, he didn't want to move. This works for me. And just flop right over. When you consider Abraham as the father of our faith and you consider his story, specifically what caused him to move, it's incredible. What would it take to cause you to do what Abraham did? To leave your job, your community, your country, your family, your father's house? What would it take to dislodge you from specifically the people around you? What kind of motivation? What kind of evidence would you need that it was actually God speaking to you? What kind of a relationship would you have to have with God in order to facilitate a kind of faith like that? I believe that the clarity and the intensity of that call would have to be incredibly disruptive, which makes the story of Abraham, or Abram, all the more incredible. What was Abraham's relationship with God built on? What was it built on? Here he is, he's called to leave his father, family, and country, and he did it. He did it. And none of the advantages that we have today did he have then. None. Abraham didn't have an Old Testament. He's in it. And pretty early on, it wasn't written. He didn't have a New Testament. Jesus wasn't born yet. He didn't have a cloud of witnesses that he could get behind. The prophets hadn't spoken, right? He had none of those advantages. And on top of that, I looked into Abraham's family history to see when the last time it was that God spoke to his family members. It turns out the last time he spoke, God spoke to any of his family, was with Noah. God speaks to Noah. We know the story. Noah builds an ark, right? Then Noah has children. And then comes a genealogy that I would only include in the scripture reading if Glenn Baker were reading it. I know you're listening, Glenn. You know we love you. The genealogy reads, well, Noah had a son, and he lived to a certain age, and the age is listed. And then that son had a son, and then that son had a son, all the way out. I took all of the ages, added them together, and at a minimum, it was 390 years between the time that God spoke to Noah and the time that God spoke to Abraham. 390 years of no recording that God spoke to anybody else in his family. Maybe God did and it wasn't noted. That would be odd, I believe. But nothing at all is indicated that God spoke to anyone in his family after Noah or between Noah and Abraham. Then all of a sudden at 75 years old, Abraham hears God speak, and it wasn't, hey, how you doing, just catching up. It was, go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. After 390 years of silence, how did God speak to Abraham in such a way that he actually moved? How did he do it? I'm going to be frank here. Maybe it's a lack of faith, but I live next door to almost my entire family. And my grandfather is going to be moving up here between over the next year. At that point, I think there might be one person in my family that doesn't live next door to me. I like that. I love this church. I love this community. I love the routines in my life. I have an Old Testament and a New Testament and the testimonies of my immediate family and all the testimonies of the people surrounding me. And even then, if God asked me to leave, I think I'd be far more like Buddy. I'd be like Abraham and just flop over because I know that where I'm at is good. What would it take to get me to leave? What would it take to get you to leave? Would you have to hear God's voice audibly, and I want to be clear here. God didn't appear to Abraham until after he left. And there's a distinction in the scriptures. It's clear. I finally came to this conclusion, and I believe it to be true. I believe that God made it clear to Abraham that unless he leave nearly everything behind, Abraham and his family would never grow into their potential. I'm going to say that one more time. I believe that God made it clear to Abraham that unless he leave nearly everything behind, that he and his family would never grow into their potential. I believe that Abraham knew that if he stayed, he would never be the man he needed to be for generations to come. I believe that it disrupted his heart and his mind so much that he had to go. You see, I believe that God showed Abraham an ideal, that he put it inside of his mind, and that if Abraham missed out on that ideal, it would haunt him. It would be too hard for Abraham to stay, so he had to go. Consider specifically what it is that God asked him to leave. Country, relatives, and father. These are the things that define a person most. These are the things that are listed specifically. Country, relatives, and father. Your country, the flag that you get behind, the laws that dictate. You leave the clan, the family, and their expectations, your role inside of that clan. Leave the father, obviously a person who is one of the most influential in a person's life for developing who they are. All of those things that define you, leave them all behind. That's what God was asking Abraham to do. And unlike Noah, where God wanted a clean break from the sinful people around him, there's no mention that Abraham's family had any problems at all, that they were evil, or that there was anything inherently bad with any of them. His family could have been remarkably good. Even so, God wanted a break for Abraham from them. And this is why. Because even the good can hold you back if it's less than your potential. Even the good can hold you back if it's less than what you could be. Abraham had to be made into something greater, something new, and something that would be sustained for generations to come. So he had to go. Abraham didn't even know where God was taking him. Did you catch that? Listen to this again. Go out from your country, your relatives, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Not the land that I have showed you, not the place that I have on the map marked out for you, not the place that had the appropriate housing inspection or the best real estate taxes. Yeah. No foreknowledge at all. But the land that I will show you. And he left without knowing where he was going. And I can tell you, this is so accurate to the way that our minds work. This is so accurate to the way that things play out in real life. How many times does God inform a person that something isn't right, right here and right here, before he tells them where they're going? How many times do you feel conviction in your heart? Heart and in your mind. And know that something needs to change before you know where you're headed. And yet, the only way to get to where you belong is by cutting away that which holds you back. So let me ask you, what defines you? Do you have peace with it? What defines you? Is your mind at rest with who you are? What defines you? Is your spirit content with where you're at? If the answer is no, get ready. Get ready, because that may be God prompting you, preparing you for the pruning that is to come, to purify you, to take you to a place that you do not know, but a place that can bless you and your family for generations to come. I followed up with Jake. I said, Jake, given your answer to my previous question, let me ask you, if you stay here, if you stay here in this area, is there anything locally that can give you the identity and the kind of strength you're looking for in the Marines? And he thought about it for a while. He sat there and he finally said, no, I need to go. I need to go. You know what I think's going on? I think that's God in his life disrupting his heart and his mind, saying, you know what, you need to be something more. And for him, that's the Marines. For him, that's the Marines. I believe that he's heard God speak, much like I believe God or Abraham heard God speak. I believe that Jake knows that he needs to be pruned. That he needs to leave to be remade. This is a very consistent theme throughout the entire Bible. Very consistent. With almost every character in the narrative from beginning to end. So my question for you, how's your heart and your mind? Or where you need to be? Are you preparing yourself for the place that God will show you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this story. For the fact that this story, some 3,000 some odd years old, and maybe even more, still resonates in our lives today, because you are acting now, just as you acted then. You are drawing us to a new place in our lives. It may be right here in Lindsay. It may be right at the jobs that we're in. But even so, there isn't a single one of us that is at the end of our journey. And so we listen. Disrupt our hearts, disrupt our minds. Help us to fill our potential, not just for our sake, for the sake of our family and for the sake of our communities. Help us to live in ways like Abraham, live in faith, so we can bless them for generations to come. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.